Okay, so I'm Trish Barnell with PKIDS, Parents of Kids with Infectious Diseases. I'm going to talk about a couple of things. We got an ERA grant from CDC. Gosh, you know, we were just a couple of kids on the left coast, stars in our eyes, passion in our heart. We wrote a little grant and we got money, so we were very happy about that. And we're happy that we're partnering with California Immunization Coalition and NIFIC. They're working, as Catherine said, to help create the message, and then what we do is to give you the technical tools to get the messages out. So I'm going to flip through some of these because some are pretty boring, I noticed last night. So, okay, communication. I'm talking about two things. I'm talking about Communications Made Easy, which is this program where you come, you sign up, you register, we have live webinars, we have how-to documents and templates, and we take you by the hand through each social media tool and show you how to do it. Right, I mean, down to the, you know, this is where you sign up, this is why it's important to use a fake birth date, this is, you know, and all the, and literally how to do it, and then what a tweet is, and what are those weird things in a tweet, what do they mean? So we get right down to it, and you will walk away knowing how to do it yourself. If you don't, we provide technical support, so you can call us, email us, Skype us, we really like Skype, we love Skype, I hope everyone downloads it, because you can share your desktop with us. If you get Skype, you can show us your desktop, and boy, then we can really help you technically. So, okay, I should do this. All right, so come to pkids.org/CME. This is not a continuing medical education thing. We kind of goofed when we name our program, and you know, initials are CME. So now we just call it the Easy. But it is not a continuing medical education. It's Communications Made Easy. So go there and you can sign up, and then you'll get an account, and on your account page, it'll show you how to contact us. And down at the bottom, it says My Resources. I want to hit on this resource library. Everyone who's registering, we're encouraging them, you know how the budget dollars are. So if you have a pamphlet or a video or a poster, something online, something offline, anything that you are willing for another group, organization, agency to use, you go down to My Resources, and this is hard to see, but this little thing will pop up, and you can upload information about a particular resource. You can put the title of it in, you can put the URL in where people can go see it online, and then you say what type it is it a video, a poster, whatever, what topic does it cover, or topics, and then there's a little thing down there for a brief description. So you upload as many different items that you've developed that you're willing to share with others. So we don't all have to keep reinventing the wheel. Somebody has a really nice HPV poster aimed at preteens, well, share it. So, you know, somebody in Kentucky can use it, and somebody in Tennessee can use it. And they can put on some little sticker that's a local phone number, which is really important. And so we all share the wealth. And so then we have the resource library. And you can search this. You can search it a lot of different ways by, like, you could search Every Child by Two as soon as they upload something. Okay. And then the resource type, brochure, handout, poster, whatever it is, if you're looking for something in particular. And then the topic, you can search by keyword. And so then you scroll down there and it tells you the type of resource, where the URL, and then the group name that's uploaded it, and then, you know, you can click that little view button over on the right. And then when you click the view button, then you get this little thing specific to, like, this is, we put it up, it's a whooping cough video and PSAs. And we tell you where to go online to look at them. And then we say it's audio and video. It's about pertussis, and then there's that little thing. So you go look and you think, boy, I'd really like to use that, because we actually have them and they're unbranded, so you can brand them yourselves. And so you click on PKIDS up there, the contact, and this little box will pop up. You put in your email, you put in the question, it'll go right to us. So it's just right online, but you have to register for Communications Made Easy to participate, and we really want to build up this resource library. It will be gold for all of us if we do that. Okay, and so then we have, on the Communications Made Easy site, we have the events, and the events are, we have the live webinars that I was telling you about. And each webinar is also recorded, so if you don't have time to do it when it's scheduled, look at it whenever you like. We're going to be repeating some of the more popular ones because we think it's important that folks actually, you know, call in and do the webinar so they can ask their questions, because you can't always get what you need just from the recording. If you can only watch the recording, call us, Skype us, or email us, and we're happy to help you with whatever. Oh, okay, so then we spent months creating these how-to documents and templates that will walk you through like the top one is blogs. We talk about three different blogging platforms, how to open an account, how you do this, how you do that, and it takes you right through A, B, C, D, holds your hand. Plus, we're doing the live webinars to cover virtually all of these topics here. What you see right there is, and these documents cover, like, what is it, how useful is it, what are the metrics, how do you do it, you know, and then we walk you through in there as well. And then we decided to do traditional media because I think eventually this sort of thing, the social media thing, will take over, but not for a few years, so we can't just give up our traditional media stuff. And we've been doing traditional media forever, and I'm really old, so I've been doing it a long time. So I'm your go-to person for the traditional media stuff, and we have other people on PECA staff who are more your liaisons for the social media, although I learn as they drag me along, and it's a lot of fun. So we also have the how-to and template documents for a whole bunch of traditional media stuff, like how to do a video on a budget, and we, you know, all the way down. And how do you create a communications plan? We've got a template for you. You just fill it in. This sort of thing actually is important. I mean, if you've been doing some press releases and you don't really know how to get your message out in other ways using traditional media, take a look at some of these. They might be helpful. If you like Communications Made Easy and you're on that website, you go up to the right and you'll see a little Telefriend link. You click on that and put your name and email in and tell a few friends. And you know, the more we get into this program and they start sharing their resources, it's just building and building. That's the hope. Okay, now, this is the network. This is, CDC asked us to create a network online for immunization educators around the country. This is going to live on way past when the ERA funds are gone. So there's a Communications Made Easy program, which at the end of 2 years, so end of September 2011, we'll have all our webinars recorded. That's going to stay there, but we probably won't do as many live webinars as we're doing right now because we're cranking them out pretty hard. And so this is separate. You have to go to network.pkids.org. And I apologize that we put our name in there because I shouldn't have done it, but it's the old marketing background. It's brand. So we'll probably unbrand it at the end of the 2 years and just make it network something. So I apologize on the front end for that because it really is not our network. We set it up, but we set it up so that anyone can do anything. This is the front page. You can list your events. This is if you sign up on the network, then you get your own little page, and it tells you your latest activity. You can go in and fix your settings, and you can upload a blog. You can write a blog. You can put in your events. You can share your photos, share your videos. There are a whole bunch of videos there. We have a main forum where anybody can start a discussion about anything. Anybody can do anything on this network. It's everyone's network. And then also you can start your own group. Like if you're in Kansas and you have a Kansas coalition, you can just start your Kansas coalition group. You can make it private or public. It's up to you. And you can always communicate privately or publicly with anyone else on the network. We put in those three groups to kind of kick things off. And then anyone can go in and put any events. The California folks, thankfully, went in and put some events in, and we put our events in. So anybody, if you have something going on, put it up so other people can see it. And then, as I said, the blogs, you can instant message on this site, which is kind of fun. And you can also do that privately or publicly. And then Frangie, someone who works at PKids, thought she would bring in a Twitter feed. So she chose variations of the word vaccine and variations of the word immunize. And so that feeds in, and you know, and it's real time. So some things are 3 seconds old and some things are 5 days old. Okay. So come join.
Thank you, Trish. Now, I know that some of you have been waiting patiently with a question or two from our panel, and thank you all for your presentations. So now is the time for your questions, but let me just ask if you would to step to the microphone in the middle to make that long walk. because this session is being recorded. So, any questions? Great.
Hi. My name is Camille. I am a public health advisor with the City of Chicago. I have a couple of questions. In your experiences with establishing the social media, did you ever run into any roadblocks to get it established, specifically approval processes? Also having to deal with rules and regulations. In addition to that, I know Amy mentioned the idea that you want to pick somebody who loves the internet, but with certain agencies, the appropriate person is the IT person or the web person, where maybe the IT person, the web person doesn't even know how to use that. So how do you get around those kind of things?
It would be best to answer the local, the approval part.
Yeah, the programmatic, my organization was very lucky that my position was created to engage in social media. I think it's, you just have to keep banging your head against the wall, and you have to keep saying, we have to be on here. Parents and adults and teenagers are on social media. We have to be on here. One of my favorite quotes from Ayn Rand is, it's not who's going to let me, but who's going to stop me. And also, you know, a lot of local health departments are setting up rogue accounts, and they're just tweeting until they get caught. I don't know how that is about career, but if somebody's going to fire you over getting on Twitter, then I don't know if you really want to work there. So I think you have to just keep working at it and keep saying that you need to be engaged. And then I forget the second question. Go ahead, yeah.
You know, we're going to be addressing this in some of our webinars about what health departments can do to convince the folks who are saying no to say yes. And so we're going to address, and how you can do it safely and so forth.
But also I would say that I would assume that it wouldn't be the IT people who are writing the information. It should be more of a communications person that writes the information, and the IT person just uploads it.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Gotcha. The second question I have is, what methods do you all use to ensure that the information is being seen beyond just using the little icons on web pages and things like that? What have you found to be most beneficial to get people to follow you? And then in addition to that, is there any type of, I guess, setback to following other people? I just feel like there might be some... maybe some issue if I'm on Twitter and I'm following Jim and Jay and, you know, everyone because I'm trying to push the information out there, but it might deter them from even wanting to look at it because it's like, why is this person tweeting me 10 times?
The first question on being seen, I think you just want to interconnect all of your different accounts. So make sure that all your Twitter and all your Facebook links are on your regular web page. So the more interconnectivity, the better. And then on the second thing, we follow pretty selectively. We follow people from Colorado or people that are mom bloggers or other nonprofits. So that's how we've set up our follow list. So any other comments on that?
No, I think the question of how do you get people to follow you is I think that represents a huge part of the time investment of engaging in this because you want to have a genuine engagement. You don't just, you can't just be talking about, you know, no matter how great your information is, you can't just be telling people what you want. You have to, you know, nurture the relationship. They say, come to the campfire, talk with people about what they want to talk about. Say you talk about their cute kids and their cute dog, and you don't be disingenuous, but this, you need to, have a little bit of a relationship with people. You might have to start the relationship. I've been reading your blog, comment from time to time. They know your name, then they're going to start following you. They're going to read your blog. They're going to start commenting. They might link to you, and then you've got the relationship, but you have to do that with a lot of people. And it eventually blossoms and flowers, mm-hmm. but it's an investment of time.
And I, that's actually one thing I didn't say that I wanted to, and I'd forgotten. Become the trusted authority. And I think that we are very slowly getting in there, but just since we started our Vaccinate Your Baby campaign 2 years ago, it's incredible the number of national newspapers and magazines that call us now for information. And although you very rarely see us listed as a source in an article, we are constantly sending them to different people to interview, and they're following us on Twitter. USA Today follows us on Twitter. Parenting follows us on Twitter. And the way that we, I feel like it's because I don't over Twitter, but that's my thing. Anyone can stop following you if you're bugging them. So yeah, they'll just drop you. And the other, just one more piece, is that I think that although we're trying to get more of the national groups to follow us, you have so many local papers and local, you know, local media that could look to you as a trusted source. And if you're feeding them what they need, they'll love you for it. That you're doing their job for them.
That's great.
I think that's something that's a little bit more broad. At PKIDS, we find that we are constantly reevaluating our strategy. So don't worry about it if you start. I mean, you need to get something down on paper and say, this is what I want to do, this is where I want to go. Take a look at it in 3 months and decide, are we accomplishing it? Are we doing, you know, because you're going to be learning things as you go. This is so fast moving and evolving. We really do. Every 3 months at least, we're changing directions a bit, we're making adjustments. So I'm assuming you're going to have to do the same thing, and just, it's normal.
Thank you. Next question.
Hi, my name is Reem, and I'm from California, Los Angeles, Northeast Valley Health Corporation. And my question is for the PKIDS website. I think it's, as you said, Trish, it's a pot of gold for materials to be found. However, I think one issue that I see arising from this is material being updated on the website. Mm-hmm. Have you thought about this?
Are you talking about the Communications Made Easy?
Yes.
Funny you should mention that. Because there are two people back in the state of Washington writing furiously because it's our time to do updates. We found, like, we spent a few months creating all these documents. And then, lo and behold, 3 months and a day, several things changed. And we said, you know, we can either update this stuff every single week, or we can just put time aside and do it every so many months. So we decided to put time aside, and we're going to do regular updates on this, on all the stuff that we wrote.
But I mean, also from other organizations uploading their information on there for other organizations to use, how are you gonna track that?
Oh, I see. So if some organization uploaded something and then they went out of business, or?
No, if they are updating their information, are they gonna have to go back and update it on their website? Are you gonna have to delete that original document that was posted on there?
No, we're going to have to leave. The resource library is also something that will live on beyond the ERA funding, just like the network will, and we are not going to be policing that. So the individual groups who are uploading their resources, they're going to just need to police themselves. Yeah, we won't do that.
Okay, thank you.
Sorry.
I'm Amy Schoen from the Altarum Institute. We are engaged in trying to add height and weight to immunization registries for groups who are interested in tracking childhood obesity, and we're looking at social media. So first, thank you for this fabulous load of information. Sort of related to the last question, for those of you who have interactive sites where either people can comment on bloggers or upload, do you ever have people from the anti-groups posting materials and making comments? Because anytime we've had stuff publicized, we, you know, there are the food people who attack us as being the food police, et cetera. And I would imagine you're even more at risk.
We do have that. And the thing about this is two-way communication. So, you know, unless they're being obscene or unusually rude, we just let it. I mean, people have a right to say what they want to say. And we have that on our Facebook quite a bit, is some folks who are immunization hesitant strongly will be saying things. And, you know, you have to be willing to hear it. And maybe try to respond if there's anything in there that you feel you actually could respond to, not as a battle, but acknowledging that they made a statement or whatever you feel comfortable with. I have such a short fuse with that kind of thing that I let somebody else at PKIDS do it, and they're so much better at it than I am. They're much more diplomatic. So find somebody diplomatic.
Yeah. But also, I would say it's very important to write a policy and list your policy. We do have a policy, no profanity, and we do screen every message, but we list every message almost. I think we've turned down maybe possibly two because they were spam. And I'll tell you, if you go to Facebook and type in Vaccinate Your Baby, become a fan. The recent conversation that happened just last week was excellent. Someone made a comment and all the fans answered, we didn't do a thing. The only sometimes we do, if there's misinformation, mm-hmm. we'll say, well, actually, that's not accurate. This is where you might want to go for a study. But the fans are doing all the talking.
Yeah. Vexing yeah. Your Baby is the Facebook that we're actually going to try to emulate, because they are they have an excellent Facebook page. So if you're going to choose one to emulate, I would go to Vaccinate Your Baby. That's mm-hmm. what we're going to do.
Thanks. Thank you.
Thank you.
And one more thing on that. At CCIC, we think it's really important to engage in what we call meanies, because we think it's an opportunity to educate and to possibly, and also to inform other people, especially on blogs, when people are on there attacking you, you're able to put those links up there, put up more information. And the reality is other people are going to read that after that comment. So it's going to live on. And people, I mean, it's 80% of parents are vaccinating their kids. This is still a vast majority of people who are pro-vaccine. And, you know, so it's such a small, loud group. But it's important to engage them.
Hi, my name is Lisa Gargano from Emory University here in Atlanta. My question is, with the knowing your audience, my group is interested in engaging adolescents through social media to educate them on vaccinations that are recommended for that age group. And I'm wondering if anybody has any opinions or any experience on gearing messages towards adolescents and then getting feedback from parents, especially with some of those more sensitive vaccinations that are recommended for adolescents mm-hmm. that maybe parents are resistant, but at the same time, that wanting to educate the adolescents, since their attitudes about vaccines are important in uptake.
Do you want me to yeah, go for it.
Yeah.
What age group? I know you said adolescents, but it's
so, middle and high school, so from about 11 or 12 up to about 17, 18. So middle and high school students, where they'll be getting tetanus, meninge, those type of things.
Okay, so what we did, because we have PEARLS, which is for the tween girls, and then we have getvax.org, which is really for the older teens and young adults. We did a lot of focus groups those ages participated in the focus groups. For the tweens, we had the tween girls, but we also had separate parent focus groups. So you're wanting to make your message relevant to the teens, but also so the parents won't object?
Right. Correct.
Yeah, so that would be my recommendation, and it's local, right?
Yes.
Yeah, it really helped us a lot. I mean, people say do focus groups, and then you go, all right, you go out and get three people, and you do it, but it actually made a big difference in the direction that we took, and especially for our getvax.org, we let our creators go, you know. I mean, there are a couple of things that we said you can't put dope in that video, because you just can't. So we said no to that, but almost everything else we just let them do what they wanted with the focus group, you know, giving feedback. So I know it sounds cliche, but that's what I would do. It worked for us.